King. Today, we are going to start from 14 and to the end. So please read.
And Enoch also, the seventh from Adam, prophesied of these, saying, Behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000s of his saints, to execute judgment upon all, and to convince all that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds, which they have ungodly committed, and of all their hard speeches, which ungodly sinners have spoken against them. These are murmurers, complainers, walking after their own lust, and their mouth speaking great swelling words, having men's persons in admiration because of advantage. But, beloved, remember ye the words which were spoken before of the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, how that they told you there should be mockers in the last time, who should walk after their own ungodly lust. These be they who separate themselves, sensual, having not the Spirit. But ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost.
Keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And of some have compassion, making a difference. And others say with fear, pulling them out of the fire, aiding even the garments spotted by the flesh. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling, and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God our Savior be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and ever. Amen.
Today, let's read the verse 14. And it says, Enoch also, the seventh from the Adam, prophesied of this, saying, Behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000s of his saints. Now, if you talk about Enoch, he says Enoch is the seventh from Adam. If you go to the Genesis and start reading the genealogy of Adam, Adam begat Seth. Doesn't say Adam begat Cain. So the Cain was taken out of the genealogy of Adam. So why? Because God did not consider him as the son of God or child of God. I believe those people who are evil in Cain's family start giving lots of hard time to Enoch. Genesis chapter 5, and start reading from verse 21 to 24.
And Enoch lived 65 years and begat Methuselah. And Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah 300 years and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Enoch 365 years. And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him.
Okay, now this is the only story we can read about Enoch in Genesis. This man, after he gave birth to his children, walked with God how many years? 300 years. In somebody's walking with God 300 years, and still he had a lot of enemies, otherwise God will not take him up. Because when we read in the book of Jude, he was the one start prophesying. What he was prophesying, the day will come, and God is going to judge you people, what you're doing against me and against God. So the people might be trying to kill him, trying to destroy him, whatever the reason was. Let's go and read in the book of Hebrews, and then we'll come back here. Book of Hebrews chapter 11, verses 5 and 6.
By faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found, because God had translated him. For before his translation he had this testimony that he pleased God.
Now the book of Hebrews is telling a little bit more that this man had the good testimony. Good testimony means you testifying to others what God has done. But the Enoch was the one who is going and telling others about God. People do not like anything about God when you tell them. This man, Enoch, was busy talking about God. People didn't like him. Maybe they hated him. Maybe they wanted to kill him. So God took him to heaven. But his prophecy is going to fulfill what he said. He was talking with God, he was testifying, and he was living a holy and clean life. I told you from the Genesis, from Cain's son, start all evil things, and in his family all evil people were born. Cain killed Abel, and Cain was a wanderer. At that particular time, sin was growing so fast. If you read Genesis chapter 6, it says their hearts were evil, and their thoughts were evil continuously. So they were not resting for 1 second without doing any sin. So that's the kind of world they were living. Okay, let's read the Jude 1:15.
Execute judgment upon all, and to convince all that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds, which they have ungodly committed, and of all their hard speeches, which ungodly sinners have spoken against them.
Our God is called what? Love. God is love. But the book of Hebrews says, God is consuming fire. Our God is love. And today, when Jesus Christ, you see hanging on the cross, you see his hand wide open. What he says? Come unto me. Come unto me, O heavy laden, and I will give you rest. But if they don't come today, the one day, the grace of God, the door will be closed. Just like Noah's ark was closed. The word of God said, God shut the door. When God shut the door, Noah was not able to open it. The pouring rain started coming. The same way today, God has given us grace, period. We read in John chapter 1 verse 17, it says what? Law came by Moses, but the grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Amen. We are living in the grace period. In those days, people did some sin. They were punished right away. Today, God is not punishing us right away, so people take advantage. He said, well, I stole $1, nothing happens. I took $100 from somebody, nothing happened. $1 million, nothing happened. So, nothing happens. I committed adultery, nothing happens. I did this, nothing happens. So God might be blind, or he might be not understanding what's happening. That's what people are thinking, but they don't know we are living in the grace of God. Today is the grace period. But the word of God says God is going to judge everyone who do not listen to the word of God. When we read John 3:16, it's very simple word, but at the same time says God so loved the world, what? He gave his only begotten son, whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. But the same chapter says, Jesus did not come to condemn the world, but to save the world. Yes. And the same chapter says, whoever do not believe in him, they are already condemned. So God says, I have opened the door for you to come in. Amen. If you don't come, then you will be judged. Go to the book of Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 27. You know that verse I said many a time. It says, it is appointed man what? Once to die, and after that judgment. So person says, I did so many crime and nothing is happening. God says, wait. I have appointed a day one day and you will be judged. Let's read that word. Okay, please read and then read the words following.
And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment, so Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation.
Now what is trying to say? Jesus Christ came once for what? To take away your sin, to die for your sins. He came as a baby. He grew like you and me. He suffered like you and me. And he died on the cross of Calvary, taking our sins on the cross. So now he's saying he's coming second time. Now when you say second time, there are some people do not believe in second coming of Jesus Christ. Some people are thinking Jesus Christ is coming and then he will be coming in the time of millennium. And some people are believing Jesus Christ will come and take his bride home. It's called rapture. When the rapture is not found in the Bible says he will come to snatch his people or bride. And so some people say, oh, that means there is no rapture. Jesus Christ is not coming. But you know, the Word of God says he is coming, but he will be not landing on earth the first time. Mm-hmm. He is coming in the mid-air. When he comes in the mid-year, what he does, he says, if you read Thessalonians chapter 4, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, you read from verse 13 to 18. We don't have time right now, but what the Word of God says, dead in Christ will rise first, and then we will be transformed. So, he is not coming on earth, he is coming in the mid-air, and he is going to take his bride, the people who are ready to go. He says, in Christ, whoever is in Christ, dead in Christ or alive in Christ, those are the people are going to go. And those people will go, and the Word of God says, that's the time the tribulation starts on this earth. God is a wise God. We read in this book, when we go to war with any other country, what we do first? We bring our ambassadors, we close our embassy and bring our people home. And give the announcement, if any Americans are living in this country, get out of here. Why we say that? Because we want to save their life.
Yes, sir.
Same way God is going to do.
Amen.
When he wants to save the Noah, he said, prepare the ark and come, you and your family. And all other people were destroyed. When God wanted to destroy the Sodom and Gomorrah, he said to Abraham, I'm going to do this. So Abraham said, if there are 50 people, will you save the Sodom and Gomorrah? He said, okay. He went to 40, 30, 20, 10. But they were not 10 people. So what God did, took the Lot and his family and burned the city. So our God is much wiser. So he is not going to allow the church go through tribulation. Many scholars are believing the church will go through tribulation. But let me tell you, when there is a tribulation time, it's called 7 years of tribulation. In the 7 years of tribulation, 3.5 years, the first one, called the mild tribulation. Because when the Antichrist make the treaty with the children of Israel, as 3.5 years, there will be tribulation, but it's not the, what you call, great tribulation for the Jewish people. But altogether, there were 7 years. But even the milder tribulation, we won't be here. Because if you read in Revelation chapter 3, the church of Philadelphia, so happened we are in Philadelphia. The church of Philadelphia promised, you will not go through great tribulation. If he says for one church, it's for all churches.
Amen.
Simple as that. So God is not going to allow us to go through tribulation. But some people decided to go through tribulation. Only way they can go through tribulation, they have to be backslider. They have to, you know, not living a good Christian life. And one person said, oh, that will be exciting day. I want to be in those days. I said, he has to be fool to saying, I want to be in tribulation and living sinful life so I could be good witness to those people. He is not coming to bear your sin again. But he's coming to give you judgment. And when you stand before the judgment of God, no man can survive. Go to the John chapter 5, St. John. Start reading from verse 25.
Verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. For as the Father hath life in himself, so hath he given to the Son to have life in himself, and hath given him authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of Man. Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming, in the which that all are in the grave shall hear his voice, and they shall come forth, they that have done good, unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil, unto the resurrection of damnation.
God is keeping record. There is a book in heaven. Now, you know, like 50 or 100 years ago, if somebody says how God keeps the record of everybody, it was impossible to understand. But now they're saying even the smallest chip can put the thousands and thousands and thousands of books on a simple chip. So now it's possible we can understand how God can keep the record of all people who were born into this world and committed sin and did not live according to the God's will. All those people dead will be raised one day for judgment day. Nobody can escape. Matthew chapter 25. Start reading from verse 41 to 46. Or 41 and 46. Matthew 25, 41.
Then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels.
Where is going? In the hellfire. The hell was not prepared for mankind. The hell was prepared for the devil and his angels.
Yes.
Then why the people are going in hell? Because they became a followers of the devil.
Amen.
If you follow the devil, you will go with him to hell. And many people thinking, I want to go to hell. One man asked me a question. Sir, what should I do to go to hell? I said, whatever you're doing right now, that's good enough to go to hell. You don't have to do anything to go to hell. Everyone who denies Jesus Christ and everyone who do not want godly thing, they are already doomed. Okay, read verse 46.
And these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal.
Everlasting punishment. And the righteous one, everlasting life. People do not know everlasting punishment and everlasting life. Everlasting means everlasting. There is no end. The punishment is not for one day. Punishment is for everlasting. They will be tormented day and night. For the pleasure of 5 minutes in this world, or the pleasure of few days in this world, they are going to go to eternal hellfire forever. It's a very bad situation. People do not know. They do not understand. Jesus Christ gave an example. You remember there was a beggar, Lazarus. No friend, nobody came to. He was eating from the trash, and the dog were coming and licking his wounds, and one day he died. But he was a godly man. I don't know why godly men suffer like that. Somebody will say, why this godly man was suffering like that? Why God did not take care of him? But this was for the testimony. This was for something to let us know what God does. And he was gone to the bosom of Abraham. And the rich man died. and he went in hell. And hell, that was just like a prison hell. The everlasting hell is coming. Okay, what happened here? This man was burning, was thirsty, and he says to Abraham, "My father Abraham, could you tell the Lazarus, dip his pinky in a water and put that pinky on my tongue?" Somebody says it was a very small request. Why Abraham didn't listen? He says, "Son, there is gulf between you and us. We cannot go there." So he said, "Okay, then could you do me a favor? Send Lazarus to earth so he can go and preach to my brothers. They're going to go to hell like me." He said, "Even though somebody goes from here to earth to preach, they are not going to listen." Didn't Jesus died and came back? How many people are listening? How many people died and they came to life, and how many people listening? He said, "They are not going to listen. They have the book of Moses. Let them listen. Let them learn and study." And some people believe in a wrong teaching. He said, "Once you saved, saved forever. Once you listen that, then what happened? You got saved, and next day you go to bar, and next day you rape somebody, and next day you kill somebody. And somebody says, oh, you're going to go to hell." Oh, no. I'm saved forever. Because I'm a born-again child of God, and God is not going to punish me. And they said, "Okay, what happened when you commit sin? But you are still the child." Let me give you an example. This man who went to hell, the rich man, called Abraham what? Father. Did that change anything? No. The father you call, but you are still in hell. If you are a child of God and start thinking that I am committing sin and God will automatically forgive my sin, go and read the Ezekiel chapter 33, Ezekiel chapter 18. We don't have time. Go there and see. He said, "If righteous man sitting and start committing sin, I will not consider his righteousness at all."
Amen.
But he will die in his sin.
That's right.
So there is nothing shortcut, but the people want more people to come into their church, and their church might be full, and there won't be any room to sit or stand, but the preaching they are giving, very soothsaying. Nothing to condemn anybody. And so the people come. There is another church. I don't want to give a name. He says, "In our church, we don't condemn anybody. We don't say anything bad about you. Come on." So people come. Now, for example, here, other days, people came from the radio. Almost 12 people. "Hi, how are you? And thank you for coming. I want to know more about you." One person says, "I'm not married. I'm living with a girl. But I'm not going to marry her. I'm just living for fun." Do you want that person coming to our church and living that kind of life and nobody saying anything? No. So, sir, you cannot live that kind of life. If you want to get married with that girl, then you can tell her, "I want to marry." "No, I don't want to marry because I'm not certain about it." The other lady, "I'm pregnant, man, and the man went now California, and I have 2 children from him, and he has a girlfriend in California." I said, "Ma'am, that's not a right life you're living." So when I tell the people truth and what they're supposed to do, are they going to come next time to hear what I'm saying? No, they don't want to see my face. But if I say, "Okay, come on, everybody's sinner, we do all wrong things. Doesn't matter, God loves you, God loves me. If you have 7 wives, that's okay too. Just come and be happy. We need more members, bring more ladies, and be happy." God is going to judge us. God knows everybody's name. He knows everybody's deeds, and he has set the day for the judgment. He said, we just read in the book of Hebrews 9:27. What? "It is appointed once to die, after that judgment." Nobody is going to escape. Everybody has to go for judgment. But the people will give us some smoothing words. It's a true word. John chapter 5 verse 24. What is it? It's saying, if you are in Christ Jesus, there is no condemnation, and you pass from death unto life.
Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word, and believeth on him that sent me, hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life.
If you are born again, child of God, and you live in Jesus Christ, and live a Christian life, then you pass from death unto life, and no condemnation. Every Sunday we have communion service. And what the Word of God says, judge yourself so you should not be judged. You should not be condemned. So that's why we have every Sunday communion, so you can judge yourself. Means if you did something wrong, you put it right and wash with the blood of Jesus Christ. Don't take today's sin for tomorrow. Tomorrow never comes. You never know what will happen tomorrow. So what the Word of God is saying, you pass from death unto life and there is no condemnation. The condemnation is only for the people who deny Jesus Christ, who doesn't believe in Jesus Christ, or backslidden, do not want to walk according to the will of God. So the day is set. So when Jesus Christ is coming, he is coming to destroy the Antichrist and the false prophet, and the last one will be destroyed after the millennium. Okay, but let's go to the book of Revelation chapter 19 and start reading from verse 19 to 21.
And I saw the beast and the kings of the earth and their armies gathered together to make war against him that sat on the horse and against his army. And the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, with which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast, and them that worshipped his image. These both were cast alive into a lake of fire burning with brimstone.
Okay, both. Who are both? Antichrist and false prophet. They are both were captured alive and put them alive in the lake of fire. Okay.
And the remnant were slain with the sword of him that sat upon the horse, which sword proceeded out of his mouth. And all the fowls were filled with their flesh.
Okay. Horrible day is coming. The people who do not listen to the word of God, God has given enough time for people to come to him. But if they don't come and keep on doing what they're doing, and people have like a satanic church, and people want to be worshipped to Satan, they don't know. Satan has no power. Jesus Christ comes, get hold of Antichrist, get hold of false prophets, and put them alive in the lake of fire. It's not for one day. That will be for eternity. After the millennium, after that, there is a white throne judgment. Let's go to the Revelation chapter 20. Starting from verse 10 to 20. 10 to.
And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever.
Okay, now where this devil is going, this is the big guy. This is the one who called the old serpent or the old devil. The false prophet and the Antichrist is already in the lake of fire. Now this will be going in the lake of fire where the false prophet and where the Antichrist is. So an unholy trinity will be in the lake of fire forever. Okay, let's read.
And I saw a great white throne, him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them.
People are having soothing saying, oh, we are going to live in this world, and if we cannot make it and don't go with Jesus Christ, we can still hide in the mountain or somewhere, and these 7 years will pass, and then we can be on this earth forever. But he says, it's not going to happen like that. Okay, keep on reading.
And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life, and the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire.
If your name is not in the book of life or book of Lamb's life, you'll be doomed. So once you get saved, your name is written in the book of life. Or Lamb's book of life. And many people are thinking, oh, God is not going to take my name off of this book. Because once I saved, saved forever. Go and ask Moses. Moses said, Lord, take my name off of this, your book. What God says, not yours. Whoever commits sin, I'll take their name off. So that means our name is written there, but if you commit sin, your name will be taken it off. And so if your name is not found in the book of life, they're all going to go to hell. And that hell is not for one day, that's for eternity. Okay, let's go to the book of Jude. Jude chapter 1 verse 16.
These are murmurers, complainers, walking after their own lust, and their mouth speaketh great swelling words, having men's person in admiration because of advantage.
These people who are backslidden, who are false prophets, who are living ungodly life, and they are in the church, or they are somewhere to entice you, to pull you down. Those are the people he's talking about. Who are those? These are the murmurers. In the Bible, murmuring is a very bad thing. Here you can murmur against pastor, murmur against your president, murmur against your governor, murmur against anybody. But in the Bible, if you murmur against God, you got punished right away. So he is saying, Jude, there are people are murmuring against God. They are not going to escape. God is going to punish. Numbers chapter 12. Start reading from verse 1 to 16.
And Miriam and Aaron spake against Moses because of the Ethiopian woman whom he had married.
Okay, now see, the Moses married Ethiopian lady. He did not marry the Jewish girl. So Miriam got jealous. Not only jealous, prejudice. She said, you should not be marrying that kind of lady. What she was trying to say, you should divorce her. Marry somebody in Jewish person. And that's what she was trying to tell. How can God use you? You married somebody else. You are not a right person God can use. And that kind of murmuring she did against Moses.
Amen.
God didn't like it. The prejudice is going around this world. White doesn't want to marry black. Black doesn't want to marry white. Indian doesn't want to marry Pakistani. Pakistani doesn't want to marry Indian. And Spanish doesn't want to marry American, or Japanese or Chinese. This is all prejudice. If you are born again, child of God, you can marry any person, any language. It's not sin. Otherwise, God would have zapped Moses.
Sure.
Moses' wife was God-fearing. She even saved Moses' life.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have time to tell you. But Moses' wife was God-fearing lady. And Miriam is saying, that is not a good lady. You are not a right man. We should be serving the Lord, not you. Okay, let's read what happens.
They said, hath the Lord indeed spoken only by Moses? Hath he not spoken also by us?
Right. What she's saying, why God is speaking through you? God speaking through my brother Aaron and me? We can do the same thing because she was the leading dancing, you remember?
Yes, Baba.
The Miriam, when they came out of this Red Sea. See what happens to Miriam. Go ahead.
Now the man Moses was very meek above all the men which were upon the face of the earth. And the Lord spake suddenly unto Moses, and unto Aaron, and unto Miriam, come out ye three unto the tabernacle of the congregation, and they three came out. And the Lord came down in the pillar of the cloud, and stood in the door of the tabernacle, and called Aaron and Miriam, and they both came forth. And he said, hear now my words. If there be a prophet among you, I, the Lord, will make myself known unto him in a vision, and will speak unto him in a dream. My servant Moses is not so, who is faithful in all mine house. With him will I speak mouth to mouth, even apparently, and not in dark speeches, and the similitude of the Lord shall he behold. Wherefore then were ye not afraid to speak against my servant Moses? And the anger of the Lord was kindled against them, and he departed. And the cloud departed from off the tabernacle, and behold, Miriam became leprous, white as snow. And Aaron looked upon Miriam, and behold, she was leprous. And Aaron said unto Moses, alas, my Lord, I beseech thee, lay not the sin upon us, wherein we have done foolishly, and wherein we have sinned. Let her not be as one dead, of whom the flesh is half consumed, when he cometh out of his mother's womb. And Moses cried unto the Lord, saying, heal her now, O God, I beseech thee.
He was not jealous. He didn't say, Miriam, you and Aaron fought against me, now die. He had love and compassion.
Yes, sir.
He prayed for them.
Yes.
Same way God told to, what do you call, Job, when his friends came against him,
yes,
God says, go and pray for them. And when he prayed, God blessed him. The same way Moses said, Lord, heal my sister. Okay, let's read and up to 15, 16 and finish.
And the Lord said unto Moses, if her father had but spit in her face, should she not be ashamed 7 days? Let her be shut out from the camp 7 days, and after that let her be received in again. And Miriam was shut out from the camp 7 days, and the people journeyed not till Miriam was brought in again. And afterward the people removed from Hazeroth and pitched in the wilderness of Paran.
That lady committed sin and became a leper. Even though Moses prayed, he said, no, at least 7 days, put her out of the camp. Be outcast. Let the whole world know she's the one murmuring against the man of God. Okay, now let's go to the Jude. Start reading from verse 17 to 19.
But beloved, remember ye the words which were spoken before of the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ. How that they told you there should be mockers in the last time, who should walk after their own ungodly lusts. These be they who separate themselves, sensual, having not the Spirit.
The apostles and prophets talked about these people. Who are these people? False prophets. Now, we don't have time, but if somebody's writing a notes, write 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1 to 5, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1 to 7, 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 10 to 22. We already studied this last week about these false prophets. But the Word of God is saying these prophets and apostles warn us about the false prophets. Jude verse 20.
But ye beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. Keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal.
How do you build your Christian life? God has given you the faith. And what kind of faith? Is the faith of God, faith of Jesus Christ. We learned last week. It says, Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2, what it says, looking unto Jesus, who is the author and finisher of our faith. So we have faith of Jesus Christ. That is a holy faith. That's the gift of God. God has given to us. Yes. If you stay in faith, what the word of God says, just shall live by faith. If you have faith, you can make it. Beloved, building up yourself on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. How do you pray in the Holy Ghost? Many people do not know how to pray in the Holy Ghost. Praying in the Holy Ghost means speaking tongue, praising God. Devil doesn't understand unknown tongue. How do you know? 1 Corinthians chapter 14 verse 2 says, when you speak in tongue, no one understand what you're speaking. That means devil cannot understand. So when you praying to God, you just think that you're praying in English. Devil knows English. Devil knows all the languages. So he will try to bring you some obstacle. But if you start praying in tongue, devil doesn't understand. So only God understands. You speak mystery to God. So pray to God to give you unknown tongue. One lady I told you, Texas, they were all thousands of people having a party outside, and she was the only one praying in the upper room. When I went there and tap on her shoulder, say, sister, I'm sorry, I'm a servant of God. I want to add my faith with your prayer request. What are you praying for? She said, I am born again child of God. I'm baptized. And I was asking God to fill me with the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongue. And I don't have it. She was almost 60s, something like that. So I said, let me pray. I laid hand on her and prayed. Instantly, she filled with the Holy Spirit and started speaking in tongue. I can give thousands of examples. We have to be hungry and thirsty for the Holy Spirit. Then we can build ourselves. Okay. Verse 21. Keep on reading. We have to finish it. Jude.
Keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life.
23.
And if some have compassion, making a difference, and others say with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garments spotted by the flesh. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling, and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and ever. Amen.
What the Jude is saying, all of these things saying, he said, to keep yourself from falling and pull out of some people who are going to go to eternal fire. God has given us grace and mercy, so we should reach out to somebody. Just think that you're in your block, the house is on fire. What are you going to say? You have to shout, call the police, and try to rescue the people, as many as you can. That's the good citizen job. We have to call and tell the people, come to Jesus Christ. Fire, you're going to be in fire. You're going to go in hellfire. I want to rescue you. Our God is a wise God. One more verse and I'm going to finish. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23 and 24.
Faithful is he
to
call with you, who also will do it.
In a Jude, our God is a wise God. He has called you with a definite high calling. And what he will do? He will rescue you. Amen. Only thing you have to do, have mercy on me, Lord. I want to live your way. And I want to pull other people from the fiery furnace and bring it to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Shall we rise? Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we come to you. You are a great God. Thank you, Lord, for saving us, protecting us. We are born again children of God. Our names are written in your holy book. And Lord, you have given us good responsibility to bringing other people to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Not to murmur against God, not to complain against God, or the servant of God, but be holy and acceptable in your sight. Be with us, sanctify us, and bless us and use us mightily for the glory of God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen,
amen.
And amen. Please be seated.